play with squirt guns, obviously. Kids. So they're out there playing around one afternoon and having a good time. And they kept coming to this point where they realized they were getting wet, but not by their brother or their sister. So they were hiding, ducking, looking around, but they were getting wet. Finally, they realized on the top floor of the house, their teammates were dumping water, squirting guns, basically sabotaging the whole fair fight thing by being out of reach and causing some major wetness to happen down the ground. So there's this third party involved in their war of siblings with water down below. Funny, in fact, one of the best memories the kids have of that house, they can refer to it anytime. They see their aunts from out there, the water fight, and it actually happened several times. They're always alert to it. But the idea of somebody being outside of the conflict, somebody else, a third party involved, doesn't often come into our perspective. And today we're going to be looking at, in Acts chapter 5, about success and this life and death struggle that's going on. But we're going to be seeing in the context of there's something more than just what they saw in front of them, the physical. There was an element to this, a life and death struggle going on beyond the moment that they found themselves in. So to this point in the book of Acts, the church has been growing rapidly. Last week we actually had a little pause as we had some internal problems that got dealt with, and we saw that played out with the children, Ananias and Sapphira, and realized how serious, though, it is when there's internal problems, when there's sin in the church, when there's disunity in the church. But it got resolved. We saw the church growing. And in the first verses here, 12, 13, 14 here, we see this continuing. We see that many people are coming. It said crowds were coming. Crowds of men, crowds of women. The church was growing rapidly. So if you want to talk about the moment of success, of having reached it, of being there, this is it here in the book of Acts. Here in chapter 5, things are going well. They've resolved internal conflict. They've faced conflict in the past. And at this point, it says that people around them, even though they were afraid to join them, were actually honoring and respecting them. So this is amazing. They're going through where they're walking. It says, in fact, people were being healed by the power of God. People are coming from the countryside just for Peter's shadow to walk on. Something amazing is happening beyond just the fact that these are followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work in them, through them, building his church, and there's this amazing moment of triumph. This is it. The church is growing. We're excited. And then we face another round of conflict. It tells us in verse 17 that the high priest rose up with all that were with them, and they were filled with jealousy, laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in jail. So in one sense, we can stop and think about, you know, that high point in our own lives. We're going through, we think we got it, we've arrived. In fact, it's exciting. And then to spend the night in jail with those that are closest to me going, okay, why are we here? What's going on? Let's stop here and pray. But the point is today, as we're going to be going through, is looking at this life and death struggle as something beyond the physical. Everything looks really good in this church, but there's something going on in the spiritual dimension that's a struggle of life and death. Let's pray. Father God, we come to your word this morning knowing that you will speak to us. So with confidence, we ask, Father God, that you open our eyes to understand your words. We ask that you make our hearts to be soft and moldable by your Holy Spirit, that what we learn today will change us, that we will be people who love you and live our lives completely, wholly obedient to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The high priest rose up. They were filled with jealousy, put the apostles in jail. And you got to wonder at this point, how would I respond? If this was me being locked up, I'm having success, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and ready for the next day, and here I am spending a night in prison with these other guys around me going, okay, what next? Well, in this instance here, we're going to see the angel of the Lord appeared, he opened the doors, let them out, and said, okay, run away, go hide, let this calm down. Mm-mm. No, no, no. The angel says to them in verse 20, go and stand in the temple courts and proclaim to the people all the words of this life. And so when they heard this, they entered the temple in the morning and they started teaching. So here we are. They've been told before not to teach anymore in Jesus' name. They've been teaching. People are coming. Now they face the wrath of these religious leaders and got locked up again. And they're told by this angel, now, go back and keep doing it. Keep teaching about this word of life. What do? They do it. There's not even a question. It doesn't even respond to their emotional response here. It doesn't respond to communicating with one another. They just went and did it. They went right back to where they were, right back where they were causing problems for these religious establishments, and continued teaching in his name. And it says that they were told to talk about all the words of this life. Now, up to this point, we've been having some amazing sermons. We've had whole chapters that have been devoted to what God has been doing in the people of Israel. From Moses and Abraham before him, how the people of Israel had done this and that, and the prophets had done this and that. Here it's all summed up in this one little phrase, continue teaching the words of life. That's a beautiful way of summing up what it is that we today are believing, the words of life. Here in this phrase here, we get the idea that Jesus himself is the center of everything. He brings life, he gives life, he is the source of life. So we focus on this idea of life. We're amazed that we have this great Savior. And the apostles continue to do it. Now, the reason I bring it into this moment of success, this struggle of life and death, is because this word, teach about the word of life, and then throughout this chapter as we keep going, we're going to keep coming across this life and death. These words as they are fleshed out. Because immediately, when they were not in jail, they went to find them. Guards found them and brought them back, but they were afraid of being stoned, so they did it gently. The guards were afraid of death. So they were nice about it, but they brought them back into the circle of the religious leaders here. And when they were brought in, these priests said to them, "You're putting the blood of this man, Jesus, on us." Basically saying, "You're reminding us that we're guilty of this man's death." Then Peter and the other apostles reply, "We must obey God rather than people." We've heard this phrase, but then he goes on to say, "God raised him from the dead, this man who you seized and killed." So God raised him, you killed him. And we are witnesses of this fact, as well as the Holy Spirit who obeyed them. And they hear this response from the disciples, and they get so furious, they want to kill the disciples. So we have this struggle of life and death going on, of people being angry to the point of death, people being afraid of death, and God raising Jesus from the dead, and the disciples not fearing death, continuing to be bold. And so we have in this life and death struggle going on in this chapter the question of how are they doing it? These are ordinary men. These are fishermen who are standing up to this powerful institution who studied their whole life theology and tradition, law, and they know it all. And these simple men are saying, we must obey God rather than men. So in this moment of success, the source of it, how they're able to do it, is said simply here in verse 32. We are witnesses of these events, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. One is their personal witness. They have seen this. They know it to be true, and their lives have been changed. Something that we can stand on ourselves and think today. We have been changed. We have seen God working in our lives. We can look around this room and know our friends and our family that are here and say, I've seen them change. I've seen something about them more like God today than it was even a week ago or a month ago or a year ago. God's at work. We have this testimony. But what is so radical in changing the disciples in this passage is the second part of the verse, which says, the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. We come back to the source of power in the book of Acts, the source of God's working in his church, which is his Holy Spirit poured out upon them. We saw this at Pentecost. We've seen that repeated over and over again as they're filled with the Spirit to speak. And today, their confidence in front of these religious leaders once again comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, I was talking with some religious people in this country and asking them, as they were serving in the church, do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? And the response was, no, of course not. I'm not a saint. That was the response from the religious institution. And it made me step back and go, wow, something so fundamental to my understanding, and I hope to our understanding, is being this. The moment you and I believe, the moment we start trusting, the moment we start obeying God, we have the Holy Spirit. The same power that the apostles are using right here, the same power, the confidence that they had to speak the word in front of opposition, the same power that says, I don't fear death, is what's been given to us as well. We who obey. This source of strength, this source of courage, this source of confidence comes from the Holy Spirit who is working in their lives today and working in their lives back in them. And so we have this amazing moment. These ordinary men who had spent the night in prison, released by an angel, which would be really cool to see. You didn't have to go through the time in prison. It would be really encouraging to see and experience and know that God is alive, God is at work, and God is giving power to do what he wants his people to do. The response, though, is this death again. These religious leaders said, rid of them. But the response of one, at least, the guy here, Gamaliel, he's one of the leaders, says, you know what? Cool down. If this is from God, it'll stay, and there's nothing we can do to fight it, but if it's from man, it'll just fade away and be gone. Really wise advice, actually, if we stop and think about it. And we see today the fact that the church is still growing, that God was behind these early apostles, these first apostles, the ones that were preaching the news, and religious establishment of that day faded away. How then do we view the struggles that we go through? How do you and I view the struggles that we go through in our, we could say, mundane, ordinary life? How do we view what God is doing in our life? I started off by drawing this third party person into the conflict for this reason right here. We have a church that's growing at the beginning of this chapter. Everything is going wrong, and yet they face opposition. And the apostles could have been concerned that it's those people, these religious leaders, that we're fighting against. Could be you guys that are the problem in their thinking. And yet, what we're finding here is they're recognizing because their source of power is in God, because the Holy Spirit is at work in them, the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, these religious leaders that are here, the institution was not their enemy. In fact, there's an invitation in the statement of the Holy Spirit given to those who obey him for them to join. There's an invitation. So the conflict here is not between the apostles and these religious leaders. The conflict here is between what God is doing in building his church and Satan and his enemies, his people, trying to come against it. And the only power that works here is the power of the Holy Spirit to build his church. The apostles keep plodding forward. In this section here, we're not seeing a whole lot about them other than they just keep doing what they're told. They keep doing what they know to do. They just keep going ahead. They persevere. Because it says, after this, they were beaten. They went out and rejoiced. Hey, we just got to suffer for Jesus' name. It's not a normal response, by the way. We got to suffer for Jesus' name. And they went right back to where they had been. In the temple and house to house, teaching these words of life. So despite this opposition, despite the beating that they took for standing up, they continued doing what they knew to do. Taking these words of life to the people, sharing it with them. So they had been warned not to teach. They said, we're going to do it anyways, and they did. They got arrested. The angel let them go and said, keep teaching. Just go back and teach. They got arrested again, and then in front of their captors, they said, we are following this Jesus, the Messiah, whom you killed. They got beaten for it. They got released. And they go back. Once again, we're still doing this. We're going to tell you about Jesus. We're going to tell you about this author of life and what he's done for me and what he can do for you. This book of Acts is keeping this circle going for us. It's reminding us time after time, story after story, Jesus is the center of their life as he is the center of our life. As they are filled with the Holy Spirit, we ourselves are filled with the Holy Spirit today. And so we stop and we look at our struggles that we go through organizationally, marriage, and our families. And we so easily say, this is the problem. This person here is the problem. This rule, this policy is the problem. We fight against those things, wasting energy, wasting time trying to overcome what we think is right in front of us. When how often is there something going on a different level? Where our enemy is trying to destroy our spirit and take away our energy and take away our focus on serving the kingdom of God. A few years ago, as my wife and I were in transition, we were working through some conflicts and trying to figure out what the next step was in our life. And we kept coming to this one point where we said, this person, no. Wait a second, this person's bringing problems and bringing this point up again. No. If we are trusting in God and He is leading our lives, then yes, this person may be bringing the problem to us. But God has put us in this position and we can trust Him. It was really hard. It changed the course of our life. It changed several things that we were going through. But in that moment, because we were able in that time to successfully say, God is leading us, God is taking us through this, I can trust Him, it allowed us to lose all the anger that we had with the person that was challenging us, confronting us, making the problems. Yeah, there was still some tension there, but they weren't the enemy.
That's right.
We saw God working in us because we were aware of something bigger going on. This time succeeded, other times was not so good and caused huge problems in personal life and in our marriage. We said, there's the problem. We went after, we tried to fight the person and failed. But allowing God to step into the moment and saying, God, what do you see going on here? If the apostles had condemned these religious leaders and said, you guys, the problem, stop coming against us directly and making it a you-us problem, I don't think we would be seeing the growth that's happening here today in the church. But when they said, God, whom raised this person, Jesus, from the dead, whom you killed, God raised, they made the problem up and down. You were the problem with God, having the problem with God. We're serving God. How can we come against you? We're obeying Him. So our problem is not with you. Our problem is obedience, submission to God. All those that are in obedience to God, it says, get what? The Holy Spirit. So we get the strength from God to do what He's calling us to do right here in these verses. So stop and reflect for a moment here on your life. Where are you at? The words of life are spoken to us today. We are called to live a life of peace. We are called to live a life of godliness. We're called to live this life. Sometimes that's going through conflict and recognizing God is leading and guiding. Sometimes going through these moments of peace and saying, wow, even in this, God is refreshing and encouraging my spirit. Because here again, we see this moment of success. How many of you have been in that point in your life where you said, wow, everything is really going well. This is what I want. This is what I've been striving for years. If this is the week, it's all come together. And wow, this is amazing. We've been there. We've had those moments. And we've also had those moments of locked up, tied down, darkness going. I'm doing the right things. Why am I here? So neither the success nor the bondage is being blocked up by the focus today. Rather, it's this life and death struggle. God is building His kingdom. He's building His kingdom through you and I because He's given us His Spirit to do this work. And our perspective needs to come off the mundane, off the practical, and say, God, what are you doing? How am I a part of this? What are these words of life that Jesus, alive in me, is speaking both to me and to the world around me in my circumstances? At the end of this chapter here, it says that every day, both in the temple courts and from house to house, they, the apostles, did not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Savior and Lord of all. At the end of this chapter, they kept going. The end of these verses, it says they were persistent every day doing this thing, teaching and preaching about Jesus. So as we go from here today, we have these words of life. We take them into a business place. We take them into an embassy. We take them into a school. We take them into our neighborhood. We take these words of life day in and day out. Because that is what we've been called to do. It doesn't matter where we go or what we get paid to do. The Holy Spirit is in us, encouraging us to share these words of life. Going to wrestle through this week again in your home groups. What does this look like? How do I apply this? How do I say, God, this is my struggle, but where are you in it? It's going to require openness, sharing with these people that care enough to come together each week with you. Share what's going on. Do it in the context of this chapter saying, life and death is at stake. Heaven and hell is at stake. Our lives are being lived in this dynamic spiritual context. And our Savior's one. We have that confidence today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this reminder once again of the victory of our Savior. As the one wise man in this group who calmed the religious leaders says, if this is from God, it will remain. We can't fight it, but if it's not from you, it will go away. So today, what you see here, Lord God, amongst us, what is from you, let it remain and grow. What's in our lives that should not be there, that we struggle against, Lord, take it away and remove it, that we can be filled, that we can be these people of obedience, to submit our lives to you. Encourage us today, and may we live in the moment of success, because you are glorified, you are praised, and may we live those moments of bondage and fear and frustration in the same way, knowing that your name is being glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. This time we're going to be sharing together at the Lord's table. It's a chance for us as a community to stand united. We repeat the Nicene Creed together as a way of saying, this I believe. So if you come from one of many, many theological, denominational backgrounds, if you could read through this creed and say, yes, I believe, this is who I am, this is where I'm at, you're welcome to come and share. If you're still in that process of belief, wondering, is this for me? Am I there? Am I willing to say, God is Lord of all, and I kind of want to be Lord still for myself? If you're wrestling with that, just talk to me, but refrain. This is a table that our Savior said, do this in remembrance of me. Our Savior died on the cross. He died that your sins and my sins could be paid for. So coming up here says, I accept that gift. Jesus, I accept what you've done. I live my life for you in obedience. If you are in that place today, I invite you to come and share. You come down the outside aisles, and you'll take up the bread, tear off a piece, and dip it into the wine or the juice, and then you turn your seats to the center aisle that allows the flow of traffic to go smoothly. Invite those that are helping to come forward now. And as you're coming, Martin, would you pray and ask God's blessing on the wine?